Welcome to New Mexico People, Places, and Ideas. I'm Stephen Spitz. Has Albuquerque replaced Santa Fe and Taos as an art center? Certainly not in terms of sales and reputation, but what about the creative process itself? An exhibition at the Albuquerque Museum of Art raises this very question, and here to help us answer it is Dr. Joseph Trogett, its curator and the former curator of the New Mexico Museum of Art in Santa Fe. Dr. Joseph Trogett, welcome to the program.
Stephen, thank you so much for having me and letting me talk about Albuquerque art.
All right. So let's get right to it then. Do you think the Albuquerque arts community ranks with that of Santa Fe and Taos, or perhaps even exceeds it? And if that's true, how come nobody knows it?
Well, the problem is that people don't think Albuquerque's on the map, and people mistakenly think from the northern New Mexico perspective that Albuquerque is simply an airport and a group of traffic jams. But that's not the case. Albuquerque has an incredible art scene. Albuquerqueans have made art for almost 14,000 years. However, Albuquerque artists got their independent voice after World War II, after the Trinity explosion at the south end of the Albuquerque Valley, and after there was an influx of artists from California.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is that we're so familiar with the development of art tourism and tourism in Santa Fe and the sort of coming to Santa Fe and Taos of so many Eastern artists, terrific artists, you know them all. And so I think that reputation sort of continues in terms of, New Mexico and the United States. That's how we think of art in New Mexico.
The Albuquerque voice is really a non-commercial voice, which expresses the needs and interests of local arts and the local community. That's very different than northern New Mexico in many ways.
All right. So what we're saying, it seems to me, raises the direct question, Albuquerque on the map, and that happens to be the name of the collaboration involving the Albuquerque Museum of Art and many, many galleries. The exhibition that you curated, it goes through May 7th. I think some of these go through June. And if you're interested, you can Google Albuquerque on the map. But just tell me or tell us a little bit about Albuquerque on the map, how it got started and what it is exactly.
Albuquerque on the map is a coalition of more than 20 arts organizations in Albuquerque, all working together to promote the art of Albuquerque. At the Albuquerque Museum, the exhibition is called Visualizing Albuquerque, which is a very broad look at the art of Albuquerque and focuses on the broad history of art making in the region. These other institutions who are participating are presenting contemporary art from their perspective rather than historic art. So the museum creates an overall umbrella of art in Albuquerque, and the other participants in On the Map put Albuquerque on the map.
All right. So let's now move to the exhibition itself at the Albuquerque Museum. And it seems, I think you've already raised the point that the precursor kind of to the development of an arts, a vital arts community in Albuquerque is the rapid growth of Albuquerque itself. It sort of explodes at World War II and post-World War II. And at the same time, you get a migration of artists to Albuquerque. But why don't you expand on that?
Well, after World War II, Albuquerque went modern. And the art of Albuquerque followed in step, and it went modern as well. The art of northern New Mexico was very much a look back at history and trying to invent an authentic art of the past. Albuquerque art after World War II is looking forward, making contemporary art, making abstract art, and going beyond the representation of the cultures of New Mexico.
Yeah, and it seems like there are a number of very prominent artists that moved to Albuquerque in the in the 40s, say, or before 47, before the Trinity explosion that you refer to. But it seems like, to me, the most significant of all those people is Johnson. Is that how you pronounce it?
Raymond Johnson is certainly one of the very important artists.
Not just his art, but the impact he has.
Raymond Johnson had a great impact on the art of Albuquerque because in 1950 he moved to Albuquerque, built a house on the north side of campus, and then transformed his basement into a gallery that was really the first contemporary gallery in Albuquerque and presented contemporary work, abstract work in his vein, and played a very important role in moving the art of Albuquerque forward. After the bomb, after World War II, there was a whole group of artists between 1946 and 1960 who made incredible works of art. There's Alice Garver, who made six-foot-long monoprints. Her husband made incredible paintings that covered the idea of the atomic bomb and modernism. So there were important artists who were living here who made abstract art that mirrored the kind of modern city that Albuquerque was becoming.
And I should point out that the artists you just mentioned all have works and featured works in the exhibition that's at the Albuquerque Art Museum. There's a couple others that really grabbed me. William Lumpkins. I really liked his work. And actually, the Johnson work that you have in the exhibition is a terrific piece. Is it itself?
Absolutely. And these works are mostly from the museum, the Albuquerque Museum's collection. There are a few pieces that we borrowed, some from the University Art Museum, but mostly these works are part of the collection of the Albuquerque Museum. And this is your collection. This is Albuquerque's collection. It's not just the museum's collection. And so I really encourage people to come to the museum and look at these works and feel that the museum is really presenting what could be in their living room as well.
You know, the implication behind what you said is that sort of Albuquerque went modern, whereas maybe Santa Fe and Taos stayed more traditional. There were art markets in Santa Fe and Taos. You know, those artists could sell those traditional works, those, you know, what you might call romantic visions of Hispanos and Pueblo Indians and these brilliant landscapes, whereas, you know, it's really abstract art that puts Albuquerque on the map, right?
Absolutely. The art of northern New Mexico presents these romantic views of New Mexico, romantic views that seem a little shallow today. They may be well painted, but we know that. And to keep replicating ideas over and over and over again really goes nowhere. The importance of the art of Albuquerque is that the artists here have been empowered by the academic programs at the university. And as students graduated from those programs, they stayed in town and they brought modernism to the art of the city.
So I want to just back up on a point you made earlier, and that is the impact, and I mean it really culturally, of the Trinity A-bomb test. Because when I first saw that at there are two terrific works on the A-bomb test in the exhibition. One of them is of the bomb itself, and I had never seen the bomb itself before. It looks completely jerry-rigged, and one can understand why someone would think it might not go off, you know. And the other one is of the explosion itself. But you seem to be saying that very test had a major impact on Albuquerque art and how people conceived of modern art. And on the surface, that's sort of hard to accept. Why would an atomic explosion have that impact?
Well, people have lived in Albuquerque for almost 14,000 years. And I think without a doubt, the Trinity explosion was the most important human event that has ever occurred here in New Mexico. And today we are so blasé about the nuclear world that we don't really respond to the power that it had as a modern icon in the 1940s after the explosion.
Yeah, it's 45 that the explosion occurs, right?
Right. Yeah. July 16th, 4:45 in the morning, 29 seconds thereafter.
Well, let me just mention, if you've just tuned in, this is New Mexico People, Places, and Ideas. I'm talking with the curator of the Albuquerque Art Museum's current exhibition. It's part of the Albuquerque on the Map collaboration, and my guest is Dr. Joseph Traggett, who's the curator of this exhibition, and he's the former curator of the New Mexico Museum of Art in Santa Fe. So presumably he's not biased. He's telling us the straight stuff. And you mentioned in the first part of the show that the art faculty became influential in sort of bringing in the UNM art faculty and bringing in other faculty members and students and sort of developing this sort of creative nucleus that had already moved here into a real vibrant community. And I just want to mention, I guess, my favorite piece in the exhibition. And it's by Enrique Montenegro. And I wasn't really all that familiar with his work. And after I looked at it, I went back and looked at a lot more of his stuff. I mean, he was on the faculty. I mean, that is a terrific piece. I wonder if you could talk about it a bit.
It's an abstract painting. It was made in the early 1950s. He was a very influential faculty member at the time. The university was really the site of another war that was taking place after World War II, and that was the war between the traditionalists and the moderns. And so Montenegro really exemplified the most current abstract expressionist modern perspective. And there were other faculty members who were much more conservative and were happy with people painting portraits of native peoples. But that's a little passé by 1946.
Yeah, he seems very much in tune with exactly what's going on in say, London or Paris in terms of expressionists.
And modernism really takes root at the university when Clinton Adams becomes dean of the College of Fine Arts and brings in a whole group of artists that he knew from California. And these California artists, including Frederick Hammersley and Charles Maddox, Garo Andrejian, they all brought their own version of modernism, of modern humor to the museum and to Albuquerque. And so that's a really important perspective to maintain.
So, but I want to drop back to the 50s. And so we've talked about the faculty member, Enrique Montenegro, but I also want to, it's a great little story about, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right, Richard Diebenkorn, mm-hmm. who's a very well-known artist, who came, I think, here as a graduate student. And you tell a great little story. And I should mention that you also wrote a book called Visualizing Albuquerque, the same name as the exhibition, which is available at the museum bookstore. And this is where I got the story from, so about him.
Well, Diebenkorn came to New Mexico and brought a version of abstract expressionism with him. When he hung his graduating show in 1952, the faculty promptly failed him because he didn't demonstrate that he could paint those kind of representational images that some of the faculty thought was so important. And so Raymond Johnson threatened to quit. The faculty reconsidered. Diebenkorn went back to the Bay Area with his master's degree in hand. But from the faculty's point of view, the whole of the faculty's point of view, he wasn't really good enough for that Master of Fine Arts degree, although he became one of the best-known landscape painters at the end of the 20th century.
Right. So that's sort of an amazing story, and it's sort of the traditional difference between kind of the traditionalists, you know, what's what was popular and the new wave, and whether the new wave is going to be accepted.
Right? Well, the modernist wave really went from after the war until the 1980s, when the art of Albuquerque took a very political turn, and artists like Patrick Nagatani really epitomized the kind of political art that has been made in the last two or three decades. And as visitors walk into the gallery, they will see a large photograph that Nagatani did. It shows the Albuquerque landscape in snow, which is an unusual circumstance for us. And the picture is really about an event that took place in 1957 when a B-36 bomber accidentally dropped a 42-ton hydrogen bomb just a few miles south of Albuquerque. And so Nagatani's painting, or rather photograph, really is an invention of what Albuquerque would look like if that bomb had gone off and Albuquerque was experiencing a nuclear winter, not just snow.
Yeah, that's an incredible photograph, and it's actually on the cover of your book. And in terms of political art, You couldn't get too much more political than that. I do want to mention one other sort of artist, a very well-known artist from the earlier period, from the 50s, and that's Agnes Martin. Because Agnes, and what you have there is an early Agnes Martin. It's a watercolor. Why don't you talk a little bit about that and Agnes Martin and what happens with her?
Well, today, Agnes Martin is thought of as a very important artist who is asking you to think about your own perceptions of self. And she does so with very minimal works. But when she was here as a student in 1946 and 1947, Martin was making rather traditional landscape paintings. But if you look at the watercolor that is on display from the University Art Museum's gallery, you see an incredible work that really goes beyond just the traditional look of the mountains of New Mexico. This is a really powerful work that makes clear that Martin is going to go somewhere with her art.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It really, as you walk through it, really, it does really grab you. And so let me just mention then, if you've just tuned in, this is New Mexico People, Places, and Ideas. My name is Stephen Spitz, and I'm very, very pleased to be speaking with Joseph Traggett today. Joe is the curator of the exhibition at the Albuquerque Museum of Art. He's also the former curator of the New Mexico Museum of Art in Santa Fe. And I want to just pursue just a little bit about something you said earlier, which is Clinton Adams comes in. He brings in all these California artists. Meanwhile, the Albuquerque Museum actually, it starts up in at the airport, right?
That's correct.
Not at its current location?
Well, the Albuquerque Museum started in the old reception building at the airport, and in the early 1980s moved to its current location in Old Town. And what's so important about the Albuquerque Museum is that for many decades, the citizens of Albuquerque very generously provided bond support for the museum so that it could create a collection. When the museum started, there were no works in the collection.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't really start well. It starts with the Johnson. Johnson, donates some of his work to the museum, some of the work he'd collected to the museum? No.
Johnson donated his works to the University Art Museum.
I see.
But the Albuquerque Museum, when it started in the 1970s, was a museum without a collection.
Nothing.
Right. And so the citizens of Albuquerque very generously provided the financing so that the museum could have a collection, and the collection focuses on the art of Albuquerque and the art of New Mexico.
Yeah. So, and I think what's really interesting to me is that it sort of parallels the beginning of the New Mexico Museum of Art in Santa Fe. It's sort of the build it and it will come idea, because the New Mexico Museum of Art in Santa Fe starts up. It starts exhibiting, what are then modern artists. Modern artists flock to sort of Santa Fe. They exhibit their works. The same thing seems to happen in Albuquerque with the Albuquerque Museum.
Yes, that's absolutely the case. When the New Mexico Museum of Art started in 1917, it did show very contemporary art, but the art that became associated with that museum became considered traditional and lost some of its cutting edge. In more recent times, certainly there are modern artists working and living in Santa Fe and exhibiting there. And that work is also represented not only in Santa Fe, but also at the Albuquerque Museum and the University Art Museum.
Yeah, and one another thing the Albuquerque Museum did was, I mean, they got a world-class architect to design the museum. And actually, I ran into Antoine Predock at the opening of the Albuquerque on the Map tour, if you will. And I mean, he's a wild and crazy guy, and he's still going strong, building buildings all over the world. And I think we've come to realize that having a really world-class architect design your museum makes a big difference.
It certainly does. And Antoine Predock not only has created incredible architecture, but he's a collector in his own right and has a wonderful collection of motorcycles, for example.
Yeah.
And one of the things I always try to do is to bring together works of material culture that I consider to be works of art and show them in the context of things that other people think are works of art.
You know, so now there's this sort of Innovate Albuquerque idea, and they're trying to build a nucleus of innovators, and they're trying to create a space for them. And it seems like that has some merit in terms of the creative process. You know, you bring in some people, you create a space for them, and it seems to work.
Absolutely. And what's so great about the Albuquerque arts community is that these are artists who are really driven to make work that expresses their opinions about things and are not necessarily commercially viable. And that's what makes this community so powerful.
So I want to drop back and talk about, we've been talking mostly about paintings, not that much about photographs. And there's two photographers. You've already mentioned one, Patrick Nagatani, and the other is Will Wilson. I was really struck by another photograph of Patrick Nagatani, and it's of the Trinity site itself. And it's why don't you describe the photograph? You can do it better than I can.
In the 1980s, Nagatani did a whole series of works about nuclear New Mexico. And one of the images that he created, which is in the book, is an image of the
Trinity explosion, right?
It's not of the explosion.
Oh, no,
It's of the monument, right, at the Trinity site. That's a place that you can go visit twice a year in October and in April.
Yeah, and he seems to be in the photograph himself. He's put himself into the photograph, and he seems to be looking back at the viewer going, did this really happen? Did we explode an atomic device in New Mexico? And of course the answer is yes, right?
Yes.
Right. And I as a Japanese American, I think he definitely has been moved by what happened at that site. The other artist that really sort of I wanted to mention and I thought was terrific was a photographer named Will Wilson.
Well, Will Wilson got his Master of Fine Arts degree here, and while he was a student here, he really perfected an idea about how to present Native peoples in a way that is both traditional, 19th century, as well as contemporary. And so to do so, he photographs people with antique 19th century technology and makes a kind of photograph known as a tintype. But he doesn't stop there. He then takes the tintype photograph and digitizes it and blows it up and transforms the image. And so the Will Wilson self-portrait in the exhibition shows Will as a 19th century Navajo person, and he is Diné. And then at the same time...
And he's in this Navajo garb, if you will, as maybe Edward Curtis would have photographed him 100 years ago, right?
Correct.
Right.
And then next to it is a modern view of himself, sort of envisioning himself as a cowboy. And what you get back and forth between these two portraits looking at each other is the question of, do I know you as my past? And the past is simply looking at the modern man and going, do I recognize you? These are really powerful images that force us to think about who we are and how we present ourselves and how the technology of art has altered the way we see ourselves.
And we're nearing the end of the show, and so and I want to get your assessment, really, and I think listeners will be interested in your assessment of how the contemporary art scene, not I'm talking about the creation of art, how that varies between Albuquerque, Santa Fe, and Taos. And of course, if people want to see it directly and form their own opinions, Albuquerque on the map is there for them to do. But thinking about it now, and how would you describe what's happening in the Albuquerque art scene, the Santa Fe art scene, and the Taos art scene?
Viewers can make their own decision about that question. In the big gallery is visualizing Albuquerque, and these are all artists who have worked in Albuquerque. In another gallery at the museum is the permanent collection, and it shows works from northern New Mexico.
Well, I'm sorry to say we're out of time. I would like to thank my guest, Dr. Joseph Traugott. Joe has written a book on the exhibition that's available at the museum bookstore. The executive producer of this show is Lynn Shebeki. Additional production assistance was provided by Jefferson White and Roman Garcia. My name is Stephen Spitz, and you've been listening to New Mexico People, Places, and Ideas on KUNF. Podcasts of this show are downloadable at iTunes under Stephen Spitz. Archives of all my shows are available at stephenspitz.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.